Blog Talk Radio.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen.
Well, welcome everybody, and to the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. And for the first time in 2 weeks, Dr. Jones is in the house, and for the first time probably ever in his show, he's actually co-hosting tonight. Can you hear me okay, Doc?
Yeah,
welcome back.
It's good to be back.
I talk a lot about you. Most people probably have not, in the chat room, have not heard your show before as far as you. You want to explain, introduce yourself in your own show, who you are and where you've been?
Well, hey, I tell you what, it's been great. I heard so many good things about the way that you've handled the show while I've been gone, and it's almost embarrassing to come back to a show that was doing okay, and now it's done. You know, it's phenomenal. It's like it skyrocketed far beyond what I've done, and it's a great testimony to you as a host. Because you know, all while I was on the cruise, every chance I got, I attempted to log in and see what was going on, and I got so many emails from so many of the listeners who said that you'd done such a great job and that they wanted you to continue on the show, and And you know, so I mean, it was so great to get that information and to know that that everyone likes, you know, your show. But it was also just a little embarrassing because you've done so much better with my show than I've done with my show. So I mean, I'm just really happy about that. And you know, I'm back and I'm ready to get back into the swing of things. And there've been so many folks who and a couple folks who are in the chat room right now who've indicated that they would like for you to stay on the talk show and co-host. But we all understand if you want to go and do your own thing, because you know, you and I talked earlier today about possibly doing that. But hey, thank you so much for co-hosting or hosting the show when I was gone, and I hope you come back and stay on longer. I would really love to have you as a co-host.
Well, thanks for the intro, but I doubt I could do as good a job as you can. Why don't you tell everyone where you've been? I did see you once in the chat room, and I almost kicked you out because I thought, why in the world would a guy be on a cruise ship in probably some of the most beautiful parts of the entire globe and be playing around online? And we talked a little bit off the air today how you said your wife was looking at you when you had logged on. Why don't you tell
yeah.
me a little bit about where you've been? Because I don't know where you've been, actually, other than I know you were on vacation and on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. Well, we like to. My wife and I like to cruise. And what we did was we did something a little different this year. We spent about a week in Orlando, taking my youngest daughter to see Mickey and hanging out with him for a while, and then we drove on to Fort Lauderdale and we spent 10 days on a cruise ship. We visited Aruba and Grenada. Grenada is the site where I was in battle for the first time, and I was wounded a couple of times taking the airport back in 1983. So it was really. It was actually moving, visiting the island for the first time since '83, when I was just a very young, second lieutenant. So I was really moved at that point. But then we visited a few of the other islands. I don't want to get into the details, but it was just really a great time. We've got this really fabulous upgrade from the stateroom that we were in, and it was just real nice. It was the best cruise we've ever taken, and I really think that. Anybody who's interested in going on a nice vacation should really consider cruising and consider my cruise line, Princess Cruise Line. It's great. I had a great time. The only problem I had on the whole cruise, Mike, was that I spent 2.5 hours in the hot tub talking about Barack Obama, Sean Hannity, Barack Obama talking politics in the hot tub, and I caught a cold. So now I have a cold. Because I was sitting in the hot tub the last couple of days of the cruise talking politics with three folks sitting in the hot tub with me, and time just passed by so fast that I developed a cold as a result of the intense conversation just sitting in the hot tub for 2 hours. I don't know if anybody's ever done that, but I don't recommend you doing that. All right, do not sit in a hot tub for 2.5 hours talking about Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Richard Nixon. And all sorts of politics, because when you're the only four people on the cruise ship who are Republicans, you tend to gravitate toward each other, and we all four of us found each other in the hot tub on deck. The Lido deck. There's two decks. There's two decks that we hear of when we think about cruising, and one of them is the Lido deck because of the Love Boat. Well, that's the deck where all the food is, where all the dancing goes on. That's the deck where all the pools are and all that stuff. So that's the deck where everybody goes to eat and just kind of hang out in the pools. But hey, it was a great time. I'm glad to be back. I'm ready to get on with the show.
Speaking of that, the introduction was "That's My King." That's by Pastor Lockridge. He wrote this many years ago. Regarding Christ, and it kind of fits in with our topic because yesterday being Easter, I talked to Dr. Jones earlier today regarding just putting a topic together. Last week Friday, Barack Obama was on a four-city tour, and these arenas or wherever these campaign re-election rallies are. You know, I don't know about you, Doc, but he's running for re-election already. I mean,
yeah, he's already.
I mean,
he's already kicking off the campaign, and you know, and I'm starting to think that I almost started to think this was a natural thing to do, because but now that I think of it, I'm almost in a panic because we don't really have a Republican candidate, do we? We don't have a front runner. We don't have a guy in place. We don't have a series of guys. All we have is what's his name, Trump something or other, Donald Trump.
Oh,
I've never heard of the guy.
Donald Trump. We'll see. You know, Donald Trump is a salesman. He can, you know. He's just a slick talker, and although I don't believe any politician's words, I like to check their records. So it doesn't matter what party they're from or what they say. I like to do information on my own, do research on my own, and kind of put together. There's the old saying, one person has one side, the other person has another side, and in the middle lies the truth. I don't believe any of it, so I got to be both sides and then weigh on what I think is the truth. And the truth is, I think it's a little early for the president to be throwing out slogan and campaigns. The best is yet to come was how he closed one of the speeches. And, Doc, they lifted him up and they carried him around this gymnasium or arena or forum or wherever it was. The only thing missing was a chariot. Because I'm telling you, I thought to myself, are there this many people times 300 that are this blind to see in the direction this country is going? Yet,
the chariot and the thorny crown, that was missing too.
He needed to have
that thorny crown. I tell you what, I mean, the prices are going up everywhere. Prices are going up. The gas situation is out of control. And yet you still have people who believe that this guy is the best thing since sliced bread. And what the hell is going on? I can't believe it. This guy has divided America like no other public official, like no other president. He has turned this country inside out. A poll was conducted while I was on the cruise. Americans feel as though they're worse off now than they have ever been. Most Americans, and I mean, he's all like, "Hey, it's all good, it's all great, life is good."
Well, when you don't have anything to worry about, I guess life is really good. One of the biggest of these speeches that kind of threw me off my game, because I always like to try to be composed. But one thing I'll tell you, I almost just blew my stack when he talked about. Coming out of the recession, these are the goals that we have set forward. And I thought to myself, how in the world are we out of this recession? Is something going on that Cool Mike is not aware of?
I don't know.
I mean, he's talking about the best is yet to come and all the accomplishments he has made. And I'll tell you, he certainly has accomplished a lot, and how much of that is positive, we'll review within the next hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. And at least in my perspective, I don't see too many positive things out of this whole, out of when he took office since 2008, or 2009, excuse me. Man,
well, you're right. Well, you know, he was absolutely right about what he said. The best is yet to come, because we have sunk so low. There's no place to go but up. One political pundit said something a few days before I took my before I left on vacation. He said that, and I can't recall the politician's name, but he said that one thing that we can look forward to is that Jimmy Carter brought us Ronald Reagan. And Barack Obama is going to bring us a great president to come after him, but I somehow wonder whether or not Barack Obama will find a way to get around the Constitution so that he could pretty much rule the United States of America and probably attempt to wrangle a third term. I'm not sure, but you know, Barack Obama has this knack for speaking to and addressing parts of the Constitution that he likes, and disregarding parts of the Constitution that doesn't suit his purpose. So I'm a bit concerned about that. I know a lot of people really don't give that line of thinking much credence, but I'm worried about that. If he does manage to acquire to win a second term, will that be enough? Because he's already said that this one term isn't enough to do all the things that he wants to do for the American people.
And a nice of him, he had made a comment in his speeches. I followed him really close, and we have Loki here. Loki, who's very, very good with the Constitution, if he wants to call in, and he can point out some outright blatant, bypasses of the Constitution. But he said, well, can't get everything we're going to get done in just 4 years. Thinking to myself, man, this man, Michael Savage, who's also a talk show host, he played that clip, and then he went back to Michael Savage. He says, of course not. He's not going to be able to put the last nail in the coffin on this democracy in just 4 years. And it's almost scary, but I tend to think that that's kind of an accurate statement. I look to see where we're going and in the direction that we're traveling, and I only see negatives. And I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I am a fiscally conservative. There is not a person on this planet, not even President Calvin Coolidge, who is tighter than I am as far as when it comes to balancing a fiscal budget. But to see what this idiot has totally done, and keep in mind, I mean, everybody knows how critical I am of George Bush. It is unbelievable that, in my opinion, George Bush could be one of the worst presidents in our history, yet someone can come along, if this was a horse race, and just take, I mean, this guy is secretariat at the Belmont. Barack Obama has just not only destroyed us in fiscal debt, but I mean, even just this morning, the TSA went into Amtrak stations and started implementing their searches. And
wow.
I know you have a little daughter. I mean, since when have just basically people hired by the TSA been able to conduct feeling up processes? And I mean, who in their right mind can, what's the word I'm looking for? When you have 10-year-old girls, I mean, and they're touching them in that kind of manner, I mean, what is next? You obviously, the airports aren't enough. Now Barack Obama is setting his gang of Nazis right into, I think it was an Amtrak station, or a bus station. David Zublik was talking about it on his show. And this is ridiculous. I mean, what next?
It's ridiculous, and you know the if George Bush had done these things, he'd be vilified. It seems to me that the media that is so entrenched in the Barack Obama policy and doctrine that they'll go along with almost anything. It's amazing to me. The Fourth Estate, the media is supposed to be the watchdog of the American people. They're supposed to be completely opposite of what they are now. They're supposed to challenge what politicians do, not just Democrats, but all media. They're the ones who stand at the gate, and yet they are in this guy's pocket relentlessly. And one wonders if the media is so in the back of this guy that they don't mind that the United States is becoming a socialist state, a Marxist state, and the decline of the United States is, I mean, they're just helping to usher it in. It's just rushing in. It's amazing.
Not just that, but I mean, the moral decline of this country has been going on for a long time. But, I mean, talk about definitely taking it to the next level. Bill Clinton really took a step there. We won't even get in and comment on George Bush. But, I mean, it is just in every way, shape, or form, where is it that Barack Obama is not in first place in as far as the opposite of our Constitution? I had a show, I believe it was Friday, which was the last show I did solo, and it was about the unconstitutional, the Unpatriot Act. And it talks about how Barack Obama, who campaigned against it, has basically taken advantage of everything and taken it to the next level. George Bush kind of implemented the security at the airport, and now Barack Obama is taking it and implementing it everywhere. For a person who's supposed to believe in rights of people, which he campaigned on, how George Bush was this Nazi believer, et cetera, and here's Barack Obama bowing to the same people that are milking us for every dime we have in the Middle East, taking advantage of every opportunity to violate the constitutional rights of we the people. And I agree with you. Anytime George Bush did anything, I mean, if he walked his dog, he was all over the media of criticism for it. But, I mean, he has Barack Obama gets a pass in every way, shape, or form from everybody. And later on in the second half of the show, I'm going to point out these morons who are giving him a pass, he's actually working against them, whether it be the media, whether it be organized labor, in every way, shape, or form, he is moving against the people who are supporting him. And that's why I was talking about, here these, my God, these people were cheering and crying and just like, just as if Jesus Christ himself, walking on water, had walked into this arena. And it's
indeed
really scary the direction that we're headed.
Yeah. I have so many quotes that speak to the adulation of this guy. I remember first of all Barack Obama's speech, inaugural speech, where he said, "This is the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet begins to heal. This is the moment when, you know, when the clouds parted and it was all about Obama is God. Obama is the Messiah." And what better way to mark that occasion by not even mentioning God during Easter weekend? It is just simply amazing. He skips a statement on Easter, but he commemorated almost all the other he commemorated all Muslim holidays, all of them. He commemorated Earth Day, but simply did not make a statement at all concerning Easter and Passover and what it means to Christians. There was nothing in what he said that had anything to do with Christianity at all, except the fact that he visited a church, and the church pastor wound up, it turned into a political event where he simply took the time to, the pastor spoke more about talk radio and Rush Limbaugh than he did about the Lord, our Savior, you know, for those of us who are Christians, you know.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is on Easter, even when you don't agree with the religion, you at least respect it. I am not a big booster of the craziness of the radical Muslim end, but I respect Muslims, and I have friends that are of that faith, but you at least respect it. When you don't mention it, I don't know what else needs to happen. I really believe that just a huge percentage of this country these individuals are stupid. They've been dumbed down. They are basically puppets from a generation of extreme liberal parents who basically were spoiled brats. And I hate judging a huge group like this, but we are hitting a record number of problems in this country. And gas prices, again, are on the rise. Our dependence on foreign energy is just out of control. Look at the criticism George Bush got concerning Katrina, which, of course, it was all his fault. Nothing else was the fault of anybody, not even the morons that stuck around in New Orleans so they could loot it afterwards. But the BP oil spill, in which I will bring out, I think, tomorrow or on Wednesday, there are huge amounts of people suffering from cleanup, inhalation.
Yeah.
Many contractors have not been basically compensated by BP. BP is basically stonewalling a lot of the – they're just – causing the problem. And
yeah,
what is Barack Obama doing about it? He's running for re-election. He's too busy campaigning.
Yeah, he's too busy campaigning and golfing and hanging out.
You know, yeah, he really likes to golf. I never realized maybe he can go golfing with that guy from North Korea who keeps hitting those holes in ones. I think a month ago I was reading a newspaper where he hit 4 or 5 hole in ones, 18 holes.
Yeah.
Kim Jong Il, best golfer on the planet.
Is that him?
Yeah. Well, it is. It's unbelievable how it seems like Barack Obama gets a pass at almost every single turn, and almost the kicker that knocks me over, his biggest critic that I can see, is Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not unbelievably crazy, she ran a piece last week for about a half hour, just blasting him. And I thought,
I can't believe she did it.
No, I. Who knows what the agenda of these people are? But the bottom line is that it is insulting, just in general. Let's remove the media out of this, Dr. Jones. Let's remove the parties from this. Let's look at America as one nation. It is unbelievable how in the process of, say, 5 to 6 years, a huge percentage of this country has just become dependent on government and its subsidies. A huge percentage of this country almost needs Barack Obama to win re-election for their own livelihood, because they have become so unself-supporting. And there's no better social program on this planet than democracy, hard work, and the individual American and their liberties, which are all now really being taken away.
Well, you know, I think that at some point we're going to revert more toward we're going to get to the point where we're going to have a lot of rioting in the streets, looting, and all sorts of anarchy, because what certain groups want to do is they want to become agitators, like what's occurring in Europe when certain folks don't get what they believe is their right, the right to live off the backs of those who earn the rights to free education, free health care. These things are supposed to, in their minds, a right. This is they've earned it simply by breathing, and if they can't afford to pay for it, it's your responsibility as a person who's been productive all your life to pay for it. And I think at some point, Barack Obama came into office and he pounded this into the electorate's head. There are no red states. There are no blue states. There are only the United States of America. And true to form, to date, he has done nothing but divide this country with the haves versus the have-nots, the rich, the fat cat bankers, all the talk about people who have having a responsibility to share their wealth with those who don't have. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. You know, and as long as it's I make the decision. If I have something and I want to give, if I decide that I want to help another person, that should be my decision. It shouldn't be the government forcing me to do so in the form of oppressive taxation and all the things that that Barack Obama advocates. We shouldn't, as citizens, be forced to pay for another person's living under any circumstances, but that's what Barack Obama advocates. And And from what I can see, America's really getting tired of it.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, welcoming to the show is somebody who knows the Constitution extremely well, who probably, in my opinion, dislikes Barack Obama even worse than I do. Loki, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to the show. Dr. Jones, I don't know if you know Loki, but Loki,
I do.
Some of our new chatters probably don't know who you are. You want to introduce yourself, tell people about your show?
Oh, well, yeah. I actually host a bunch of different shows on my site. It's the Halls of Valhalla on Blog Talk Radio. I've been on for about 4 years now. So.
Yeah, it's a great show. I listen to it often. I mean, I find it to be not only enlightening, informative, but also amusing in many cases. You have a great show.
My thank you.
The knowledge about the Constitution is absolutely unparalleled. A lot of the information he says, I actually steal, and I do when I do a show. And I mean, there's no greater form of compliment. I do that with Tesla all the time too. I don't think there's any better form of complimenting somebody as if you were to tune in the show and basically hear your own material, because that somebody is actually putting it right up there. Loki, quick question, regarding the Constitution. How do I put this into words? It seems like there have been so many violations of the Constitution by Barack Obama. I don't know where to start, and I don't even want to, because I'm starting to already get flustered and confused. I almost want to bring his picture up on my monitor and punch it. But what are some of the main concerns or constitutional violations that you have seen since Jesus Christ is risen again?
Well, are you talking just the real blatant ones?
Any one you want to name. Because, you know, the reason I asked this for both of you is I think these people in the arena that were carrying him around on their shoulders, I don't know what you have to do to wake these morons up. They're like zombies. And here we have a declaration and a constitution almost about to be as worthless as toilet paper from this man. And these people don't seem to care. And these are the people that will suffer from it.
Well, legislative by executive power is one thing. It's probably the most blatant one, or by executive order, which he does do. Now, this is a problem, specifically with some of the departments there. The EPA is one, the FCC, the FDA, where they can get out there and they actually legislate, pass legislation by executive order. And unfortunately for him, the Constitution was written that only the Congress has legislative authority, not the president and not the courts.
Yeah, but Loki, don't you find that Barack Obama, he seems to have a plan that, and he finds his way around the Constitution a lot of times, and
it's a violation of the Constitution. It's not getting around it. You don't get around that document.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he seems to be able to do it, and
nobody's
called on it.
That's the problem. Nobody's calling him on it. And, you know, then he uses his veto stamp to pass, you know, if they pass a law restricting the EPA, he'll just veto it. He doesn't care. And he'll still use the EPA to legislate.
Loki, I thought that when I was under the impression that when Republicans took over Congress, that they would be able to choke off funding for all of these czars and a lot of the funding for Obamacare and all of this, but apparently that's not quite the case. They can't really cut off funding without without the Senate and then Barack Obama signature. Is that correct?
No. Actually, okay. The House of Representatives holds the purse strings. All money bills have to originate in the House.
Educate me right now. How do they go about defunding, say, a czar, or the science czar, that lunatic?
Well,
they're all lunatics.
They just don't give the president any more money.
Okay. But how do they do that? How do they not give him any more money? What is the legislative process, if you can go through it just briefly? Because I don't understand it, honestly.
They just don't write any bills that gives the government any money.
Okay.
They can sit there and write money for defense. Yeah, we'll write these bills. That's fine. We're not going to write any money for anything else. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do it.
The sad part is that there should be anarchy among the controlled Republicans, which is so sad because they've just joined the country club. There should be just anarchy against this. I mean, Tesla's show was socialism isn't an option. Who's stepping up against this? Who is our lead dog in any party to say this is BS? Dennis DeConcinich? I mean, come on. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The clear violations of the Constitution.
Clear
violations, repeatedly.
But nobody's stepping in. And now we have Ron Paul. He's now into the presidential race. I don't think he can win. I mean, Ron Paul's already been to this dance. What we need is a Ronald Reagan, charismatic Ronald Reagan style candidate, and we simply do not have one. There is not one on the horizon, and I'm afraid that if someone doesn't step up soon, we will have another 4 years of Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, there are some out there.
Well, but who can run against this guy?
Herman Cain.
Match him. Herman Cain can, yes. And is Herman Cain a viable candidate?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, he is. I was really waiting for him to announce.
Who is Herman Cain? I'm not familiar with him. Someone want to educate me
goodness.
On him?
Yeah,
well,
Herman,
okay.
Shame on you.
Yeah, he was.
I'm learning. What am I supposed to just know everything?
He was the CEO of Godfather Pizza to start with. That's one of his big claims to fame. But he also has a radio talk show host out of Atlanta. Or he has a radio talk show out of Atlanta. And he does co-host for Neil Bortz from time to time. That's actually where I encountered him, when he was co-hosting for Neil Bortz. But he is a conservative. And actually, you know, I would say the best ticket I would think against Barack Obama and whoever he picks would be Herman Cain and Alan West. Would that
please.
No, not
Alan
West.
Herman Cain a true conservative, or is he just one of these fake ones?
Oh, no.
You know,
well, Herman Cain's a true conservative.
Okay,
yes,
that
is.
My thing, number one, is we need, and I'll tell you something, Loki. I voted for Virge Bonero for governor of our state because Virge Bonero, number one, all his issues, social issues, I disagree with him on, but he balances budgets and he's very that's my number one priority among everything, including being active in Right to Life as a Roman Catholic. It's everything. If we don't get these numbers in order, this ship is on its way to join the Titanic at the bottom of the river.
Well, the governor is one thing, but you also have to elect the right legislature.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it's like even when Mitt Romney was running Massachusetts as a Republican, he had a Democrat legislature. What could he do? Nothing. Not a damn thing.
But Reagan had a Democratic Congress, didn't he? He had a Republican Senate, but he had a Democratic Congress. Well, he seemed to make.
Now, but you got to understand the time and the Democrats at that time. They, I mean, we're still coming off the end of the Kennedy type Democrats, Truman Democrats. Their party has changed tremendously in those 20 years since Reagan. And you know, trust me, there are some of those Truman Democrats, Kennedy Democrats back out there that were just incredible statesmen.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there were, and even you know, dare I say it, even Jimmy Carter was far more fiscally responsible than this current president, our current administration. I found it amazing to discover that Jimmy Carter went against his own party numerous times to cut the deficit, to cut the budget, to be more fiscally responsible. I believe that was the best thing that the guy ever did, but it also helped to cost him the election to Ronald Reagan, which I'm proud of. So I'm kind of on the fence about that one. What is going on with spending money we don't have? I simply don't understand. And I wish someone could explain how is it that you have one group of American citizens, you have one political party who believes that we're going over a cliff, that we're out of money, that we're broke, and then you have another party, the Democrat Party, who believes that we're not broke, we've got money to burn, and we should spend and spend and spend. What is the truth? Are we broke? Are we out of money, or are we flush with cash and we're just you know, whistling past the graveyard? Which is it?
We're broke.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But why is it that Democrats seem to think that or be saying that we're not, that we have money, that we need to spend money in order to make money?
Well,
I mean, that's their mantra.
Well, I know that's exact. I mean, even Joe Biden said that. I mean, we have to spend money to keep ourselves out of going into bankruptcy. Excuse me?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work that way, Joe. But
no.
You know,
but why does he believe so? Because I find it difficult to believe that every single Democrat wants to see this country go bust. Is there a conspiracy among Democrats to want the country to go broke?
What you have to look at, not the Democrats themselves, but the party. You got to remember something in this country, and it's the same with the Republicans, too. It's not about what's right or wrong. It's about the party. What does the party want to do? And this is what I've been following, and this is why Michael Steele was so inept. As a party leadership, you know, he wanted this big tent thing. He wanted everybody in there, and just to get everybody going. And I'm like, no, you can't. It doesn't work that way. Ronald Reagan wanted a big tent too.
Yeah.
But his tent was big, but it was very narrow.
When you say
narrow,
what do you mean?
It was very narrow, a narrow group of people, conservatives. He didn't care about the... About courting to the independents or the fence sitters,
mm-hmm.
You know, he courted the conservative. The thing is, what it is, and this is one thing that I think that Herman Cain can do, is bring the conservatives out of the Democrat Party. There are a lot of conservatives there; they just don't know they are.
Well.
I mean, they've been voting Democrat all their life. They think the Democrats are there for them. Remember, go back to the election in 2008. Proposition 8 in California, it passed.
Yeah.
Barack Obama overwhelmingly won the state of California. Why didn't Prop 8 fail? If that's the case.
Yeah. Good point.
Prop 8 should have fallen right on its face.
That is a good point. And actually, the biggest group of Tea Party, supposed Tea Party conservatives, are in that Northern California, San Francisco area, which you would think is overwhelmingly liberal.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. But all right, let me throw this out there. Why is it? It seems like. Is it me or are just the majority of the people totally clueless? As I was talking in the open about lifting this man up on the shoulders and hauling him around like he's Helen of Troy. I mean, we have record number of problems, and it's A to Z with employment, just everything. I mean, do people just not see it? Are they blind? Are they stupid? Are they uneducated? Or are they socialists? And that's where they want for this country. Loki, go ahead. Loki, you there? All right, Doc Jones, go ahead. Jump in.
Yeah, I think Loki probably jumped. What I think is that it doesn't really matter whether Barack Obama does good or bad. It doesn't really matter that the economy's in the tank. It doesn't matter whether or not gas prices are skyrocketing to some folks. They're gonna love this guy no matter what. I was having a conversation with a friend of my wife's while we visited Orlando, and you know, she's a black woman, and she defended Barack Obama at every turn, to the point that you know, our conversation almost drove her to tears. Part of the conversation was okay. I said to her that Martin Luther King received the Nobel Peace Prize, but he nearly died several times. Was killed several times. His family was threatened. He was stabbed. He was thrown in jail, and yet he earned the Nobel Peace Prize. Barack Obama did absolutely nothing to earn the Nobel Peace Prize. I asked her, doesn't this tarnish the prize itself? Doesn't this fly in the face of what Martin Luther King did? Does this not cheapen the prize for a man who has done nothing to receive it? She went on to say that he had earned it. He earned it by virtue of simply being a black man in the office of the presidency, that he'd been threatened once or twice, and you know what, this meager point of part of the conversation spoke to how it doesn't matter, I'm not going there, I'm saying it speaks to some of the people who completely are in the tank for this guy, that it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter whether he runs this country into the ground. They will worship this guy, and they will find reasons and excuses to do so.
I can't argue with you there, and it's the same way. I think we have Loki back. Loki, somehow I think I muted your mic by accident, and I apologize.
Actually, no, you didn't. The dogs hung up the turned off my power strip, fighting with my dad.
I had Loki and Doc Weisler on like a couple weeks ago on the show, Cast of Characters. And man, your dogs was a barking and a barking and a barking.
Oh yeah, they only do that when I get on
my
a
ear.
Show.
What's that?
They only do that when I get on a show.
Okay. Go ahead. Why don't you follow up before I jump in and grab some other callers, Loki, on whatever it is, I get so frustrated. I lose sight of what the topic is.
Well, I think he's right. Yeah, there are people out there that just idolize Barry, and they do it blindly. They don't.
Go on, Loki.
You know, I was following him, and I started doing a lot of looking into it. Well, actually, I was kind of looking into him a little bit in 2006 when he was running for Senate in Illinois, because I'd never heard of him before. And I just lived right across the pond from Illinois. So I was paying attention to him. Then in 2008, when he announced his run for presidency, I started doing some digging and started finding out what he was talking about, what he was saying, and what he had said in the past. And this guy is dangerous for this nation. Number one,
he's not even debatable. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about. I mean, that's... Go ahead, Doc.
He is beyond dangerous. I am shocked. I am in shock every day. I am shocked every single day. I turn on the news and the wild, crazy, bizarre things that he says that Americans are either eating up or ignoring. Some of the bizarre things that he has said, the things that he's advocating, it's as if half of this country wants us to go down in flames and ruin, and more personally, I am amazed. Is anybody else amazed at this, what I'm about to say here, or have considered it? The number of socialist and Marxist people in your family or your friends who have come out of the woodwork, they have come out of the closet, and these may be people that you never knew what their political stance was, you never knew what their ideology was until the election of Barack Obama, and all of a sudden you find that you're surrounded by a bunch of Marxists and socialists. I don't know about you, but that's happening all around me, and I number my wife as one of those folks. She is completely in the tank for this dude. I can't say it too loud.
Before we jump to the next caller, I'll put it right out there. I am a Union family. My father, my grandfather was not only in the original sit-down strike, but my father was a UAW man. And how it is Union people can support this guy, he's worse than Republicans on Union. It doesn't matter the category. He's looking to do nothing on immigration and force everybody down to about a $5 an hour wage, yet the unions continue to follow this guy with their head up their ass. And it's unbelievably ridiculous. If you believe in organized labor, the worst thing in the world for that is socialism or communism, because then people have no rights. And how they continue to – they're the people lifting this guy up and running him around in the auditoriums. I'm thinking, man, oh, man, these people must have been hypnotized, you know, when those good public speakers, but they're really hypnosis. That's what I think happened. They just hypnotized everybody. Let's jump in and grab the next caller. Area code – oh, no, that's you, Doc, 404. John, area code 215, are you with us?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's some books coming out about our current president. The latest one that's on the bookshelves is called Deconstructing Obama, in which the author goes into great detail to explain that Obama did not write Dreams from My Father. And he explains with evidence that it was Bill Ayers that was the actual author of that book. And the second book, he explains with great detail that it was Obama's current speechwriter that was the author of the second book. He also goes into detail as far as what Obama's academic, he goes into detail as to what his academic performance actually was. And evidently, there's a lot of myths that's been built up to, like, suggest that he has a high IQ or he's a genius when, you know, he sealed all of his records and no one can see exactly what his test scores were and so forth. So I think that the Democratic Party has basically built this man up to a certain point so he can serve as a puppet for a socialist wing that's inside the Democratic Party that wants to bring a social democracy to America.
And
you know what?
There, Loki or Dr. Jones, do you want to
grab
that? You know what?
I couldn't agree more. I recall a conversation with during a talk show. I can't remember his name. But there was a talk show, it was a well-known MSNBC talk show host who said that Barack Obama was brilliant, and that his IQ was off the charts. And Don Imus challenged that assumption or that statement that was made by the host. And he said, "Well, what is Barack Obama's IQ?" And the guy stumbled and stammered through the answer, and basically he said he didn't know, but that Barack Obama is brilliant and he's so smart, but he couldn't answer the question. He couldn't answer the question. Well, how do you know what Barack Obama's IQ is? How do you know that his IQ is off the charts? And it speaks to what the caller just said. He's being built up to be this genius, this savior of this country, and quite frankly, I see him as, and I have known him to be just a very average man. Another example is that he was touted as being a professor of constitutional law at the University of Chicago. Now, mind you, the University of Chicago is a very prestigious school. I tried to get in there myself, couldn't get in, which speaks to how high their standards are. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cute. But nevertheless, he was not a professor of constitutional law. He was an instructor. And an instructor is the guy who takes over the class when the professor doesn't have time to do the class, has a faculty meeting, or is out of town, or on a vacation, or on a cruise ship somewhere, hanging out, you know, in a hot tub talking politics. That's what a professor does. An instructor simply monitors the class and fills in. Barack Obama was not a professor. He was an instructor, a basic second year PhD student functions as an instructor, and this is that's just simply another example of how Barack Obama has been built up to be so much more than he really is.
Right, and also just to add to that, someone was able to get Obama's Social Security record. And on that record, it shows every job that an individual has ever had. Basically,
yep.
In that record, it shows that Obama had a job as a teenager at a Baskin-Robbins, and he did not have any significant job until he was 33 years old and he became a state senator. That's when the taxes started to come out of his paycheck, meaning that entire time, from the age of like 17 until the age of like 33, he only worked like between one or two jobs. And
yeah.
And it was a Percy Sutton and a Khalid Al-Mansour who wrote different types of letters to get Obama into Harvard Law, because according to his own admission in Dreams from My Father, he was a C-average student at Occidental College. And when they interviewed everyone at the school that he claimed to go to, they said that hardly, like anyone knew him at the time that he said that he was at Columbia University. They interviewed over 400 people in the poli-sci class at that particular school, and practically no one said they saw him there. I mean, like, no one said they saw him at the library or anything. So evidently, he lied about his time when he said that he was at Columbia University. So, I mean, he was able to get into Harvard Law based on like a C average from Occidental.
Yeah, and it just seems to me it's just all becoming very it's not a coincidence anymore. It all seems to be very very eerie, and It's a type of adulation that that when I think about it, it's the type of it's a scenario, American citizen, where it reminds me of the rise of Adolf Hitler. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that Barack Obama is or ever will be on the level of an Adolf Hitler, but certainly the point where he is being worshipped as a savior of this country, when it appears to the most pedestrian eye that he is simply destroying this country from within, simply in terms of his rhetoric is divisive to the extent that it flies in the face of the Constitution. The guy should be impeached simply for some of the things that he has said that have driven a wedge down the middle of this country and is basically bringing us to our knees, not just financially, but spiritually as well. I mean, he could possibly go down as the worst president in the history of this country simply because he has driven us so far apart.
Loki, you want to follow up on that?
Well, I think Doc Jones is right. Absolutely. He is not the great uniter like he claimed he was going to be when he was running for office. He has definitely divided this nation, and we see it every day. I'm sorry. It's with the brazenness of this new Black Panther Party that's coming out. I think race relations in this nation as a whole have taken a severe hit since Barry has been elected. And I don't like it because that's not the type of person I am. But I see this happening, and it's severe. Then we have Eric Holder, as far as Attorney General, refusing to prosecute those two individuals in Philadelphia that for voter intimidation. They basically said, "Well, no, they can't do that because." Like I said, I'm going to paraphrase what I heard him say, but basically they're Black. We can't prosecute them for that. And I'm going, oh, wait, what about equal protection under the law? And again, it comes down to the same point. It's equal protection under the law for all individuals. Like everybody has to be treated the same way.
But that's not the belief. Barack Obama has surrounded himself with every like-minded left-wing nut job, including the Attorney General, who simply believes that Americans have been cowards regarding race relations, and I don't believe he believes that he's there to simply enforce the laws of this once great nation, but to right previous wrongs. Like Obama wants to right his perceived previous wrongs by redistributing wealth, he has divided this nation. I can't overstress it. I mean, this is the guy who said a light will shine through that window, a beam of light will come down upon you. You will experience an epiphany, and you will suddenly realize that you must go to the polls and vote for Obama. He said that January 7, 2008. I have so many quotes of people who believe that this guy was going to bring this country together like George Washington. Hell, like Jesus Christ. He was going to bring this country, unite this country. We were all going to be one. We were all going to be living in this wonderful utopia. And from what I can tell, getting back home these last couple of days, all he's done is spew out hatred and divisiveness among those who have and those who have not. He is going to bring about a civil war in this country. There are already states who were talking about seceding when he took office. Can you imagine what they're thinking now?
Well, the only thing is if there happens to be fraud in his background, African Americans should not protect him blindly, because if there's fraud in terms of birth certificates, if there's fraud in terms of whether he authored these two books, if there's fraud in terms of his academic record, African Americans should not just blindly support him because he happens to be black. And because that is happening, evidently there's a huge disconnect between white Americans and black Americans in this country.
I think it all depends on who we're talking about, because to be perfectly honest, the old saying, well, blacks will stick together or whatever, like the Muslims stick together, I think it's the stupid white liberals. The blacks are not in quantity enough to really, really protect him, because voting-wise, they're somewhere between, say, 11 and 15%. And I think just these stupid people are just, in general, stupid people. And, Doc, I think these people are for socialism because they believe socialism works. They are not – they are the type of people that just believe what they're told. And they believe throughout history that, the founding fathers were slave owners and they were womanizers and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, just all through the years. And somehow that government is the answer. And they think that corporate America, it's better, this devil that we know is better than the devil that owns corporate America. That's what I think they think.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and especially in the black community where you have like you were alluding to, you danced around it a little bit, and it was very, very effective dance. But I can't do the dance, so I'm gonna say there are black people, a great many black people who believe that they were owed something for their ancestors being enslaved, and that they're owed living, they're owed housing, they're owed health care. These should be basic rights simply because their ancestors, so far removed, by the way, were brought here in chains and treated so poorly that they, who are now living like kings compared to our ancestors, they believe that they are owed something for nothing, that it's their right, that it's their due to receive something for nothing. So a socialist and indeed a Marxist, even a communist state here in America is perfectly acceptable to a great many blacks, because what's in it for them? Everything for doing absolutely nothing, which they believe they are owed. And Barack Obama speaks to that. Barack Obama, being in office, gives a certain segment of the black population hope that they will finally get their just due at the expense of someone else. And in fact, Barack Obama believes that as well, being that socialist, low-level agitator that Colonel West said that he was. I'm paraphrasing his statement, but being that he believes that America owes a debt to poor whites and certainly to poor blacks, that the free ride is in order, and he's going to try to deliver it no matter what it takes.
Also, Dr. Jerome Corsi is about to come out, also with a book that basically deals with the birth certificate issue. But in the recent book that's out now, where they go into Obama's background, they noticed, in his early years, he did not seem to have a cultural identity with African Americans. I mean, this was an observation that was made by many people in Hyde Park, during the time that he was at the University of Chicago. He seemed to have more of an identity with people who were socialists or, like, people who were Muslim because of the time that he had spent, inside a Muslim country. So,
yeah.
I mean, evidently, from the very beginning, you know, he didn't come across as being a black person.
Well, that's very, very true. And at this point in time, ladies and gentlemen, Blog Talk listeners, let us bring on area code 772, which I believe Socialism is not an option. Tesla, is that you?
It sure is, Mike.
Well, welcome to the show. You got Dr. Jones here to regulate the music I play here now, too. So,
okay.
Complaints to him.
I read that, Tesla, I read that letter on the cruise ship. I was sitting in my stateroom. I had to show it to my wife. She got a kick out of it. I laughed. I thought that was that was funny. I said, "Oh man, poor Mike. I wonder if he read this," because
kids nowadays. Tesla, just a quick jump on your show. I think it was Saturday. Exactly. Do you recall how many czars that President Obama has at this point appointed?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint an exact number because there are some vacancies, and there's a question as to whether or not some of these positions are officially titled as a czar. But there's a hard count that I know of 37, and some say there's 44.
Well,
jeez.
You know, we could at least put it one way. There's more czars than there were in the Romanov family.
Well, that's a plus, but you know what happened to those folks?
Yeah.
Well, imagine, I mean, one is enough, let alone you're dealing with, somewhere in the range of 40. I mean, each one of these is like an individual dictator. So you're appointing this person to basically be the dictator of whatever department they are. No questions asked, period. Done. Not up for negotiation.
You see, the point of the czars, though, the important point of the czars is this. If the czars were acting in nothing more but an advisory capacity to the president because of some special expertise they had in their area of concern, that would be one thing. But because of the nearly unlimited power that they have over others in their positions, in their salaried positions, then their power is such that their positions would be considered constitutional positions subject to the advice and consent of Senate. But yet, they're as powerful as they are, they're not being approved by the Senate, and they should be. And that's where the point of contention is.
Yeah.
Now, Logan, when you were reading about these, what Tesla did is he talked about the czars going back to, I think, FDR. Didn't you mention that some of the czars by Obama were not approved or something like that? Like a couple were rejected?
No, they weren't rejected because he's not, to my knowledge, he's not sent a single czar to Senate confirmation.
There were presidents who did, if I recall, and Ronald Reagan was one of them.
Yes. Now, not since, I believe, the influx of czars, the increasing number of czars, started to occur under Bill Clinton and then just increased considerably right up until Obama. And, of course, again, the other question becomes, these czars are in charge of various areas that already are under the jurisdiction of some cabinet office. So why do you need a czar to be in charge of an area that an executive, the cabinet, a cabinet member, is already in charge of? So that,
in order
that's
to subvert the Constitution.
Well, exactly, and it suggests a shadow government.
How many cabinet offices do we have that are not covered under the Constitution? Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, EPA, Department of Energy, Department of Education, Department of Transportation.
There's a czar for each of them.
These are not authorities of the federal government, period, under the Constitution.
Well, I mean, also, isn't it true if the president is able to appoint czars, then he's able to increase the power of the executive branch because the czars would only be accountable to him, and they wouldn't have to be accountable to Congress.
Correct.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that it's a way for Obama to subvert the Constitution, bearing in mind that there have been presidents before Obama who have had, you know, almost, close to the number that Barack Obama, because I did a show on this subject as well quite some time ago, where we looked at each czar and what their responsibilities were, and their Marxist, socialist, communist, radical leanings were. A lot of the bizarre, lunatic statements, like, for example, the science czar advocating sterilizing humans to lessen the population, because he believes that the more people we have on the planet, the worse off the planet is in terms of its the overall environment. So his belief was to put a sterilant in the drinking water to help to prevent us from having as many children in order to help save the earth.
Well, and you got to be careful, because the United Nations is coming out now talking about giving the Earth human rights.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to be following that. Now, my question in that scenario is, how do you deal with volcanoes then?
Yeah.
You know, one volcano erupts. When Mount St. Helens erupted, it poured more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere than we have created to date, and that's just one.
Why do we need an intelligence czar when we have a complete intelligence apparatus? We have an alphabet of intelligence agencies, but we have an intelligence czar. We have a Mideast peace czar. We have a pay czar. We have a regulatory czar, a science czar. I could go on with the czars, but Tesla's apparently already done this in his show a few days ago. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, Tesla's hang on a second.
Yeah.
Tesla's responsible for creating a brawl. A bunch of us, 2 weeks, two or 3 weeks ago, we had one of our little Listen to Tesla show on a Saturday at the cafe, and all these hippies were pissed off about something, and a brawl broke out, an absolute fight among, like, the conservatives. And there was one girl picked up a chair about to bust another girl over.
Oh, it was crazy.
But it was all over these kind of issues, that a bunch of these people are so brainwashed by Barack, and a bunch of people are listening to somebody who's pointing things out about what's happening to our country, and no matter what, the robots believe it's not true. Obama is king of kings.
Go ahead, Loki. I want to correct you on one thing, Mike. People in this country are not stupid. People in this country are probably some of the most enlightened in the world. However, there are a lot of them out there that are very ignorant of what's going on. And ignorance is not stupidity. It kind of bothers me, because I've used that term before, and I come to the point to realize that, no, the American people are not stupid, but some of them are extremely ignorant.
I don't even want to ask for a definition, but then there'd be the population of ignorance then has to be beyond what you can. I don't know what.
Well, people
is
are ignorant
watching. Is ignorant? I know, but is ignorance watching over and over and over and over our constitutional rights being stripped away by the federal government and doing nothing?
The thing
is,
well,
ignorance watching a little. One at a time. Loki, go ahead. You reply. John, then you can go.
They're not watching. That's the problem. They're not paying attention. They get home, and they sit down, and they put their feet up. They get their Xbox or their Wii, or they turn on the boob tube, and they turn on CNN, or maybe. And that's what they do. They're not paying attention to what's going on around them. The people
that are paying attention...
Or us.
Yeah. And one wonders if there are going to be enough of us paying attention to help save this country.
Well, remember, only took 4% of the people to fight the revolution.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. John, did you want to follow up with something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say there's a pastor who's located in Harlem, New York. His name is James Manning, and he made the comment, which is definitely true. The reason why Obama was elected is because he has the right characteristics in the sense that he had charisma, he happened to be a good orator, and he was very good on television. And there were a lot of white people in the population who felt a sense of guilt after 40 years after the assassination of Martin Luther King. The plight of African-Americans in the country was so bad as a group that they felt that this particular African-American, who had been Ivy League educated, he could speak well, he had charisma, they wanted to give him a chance. So part of the vote for Obama was a vote of white guilt over the fact that the African-American population as a whole had done so poorly after the 40 years after the assassination of Dr. King.
It's an amazing price to pay for America to go down the tubes for some form of guilt and political correctness, to see America where it stands now, where gas prices are the highest that they've been since, what, 1972, or when we had the oil embargo back then. I was just I was very young back then, but I don't remember much about it. But the country is at its worst, both financially and spiritually, mentally. We are at our worst, according to polls that are out, based how people feel about the country, how people feel about themselves, how people feel about the direction of the country. It's all at its lowest ebb, and all this guy is doing is partying like a rock star, traveling, vacationing, golfing. It's as if he either doesn't care or it's all part of his plan.
Could be. Tesla, you want to jump in? Okay, guess not. I, Doc, I agree with you. My biggest concern right now for all of us is that people need to open their eyes and see what's going on, because there is a part of implosion. It's like a game. Whereas when you fall behind, when you decide to start playing whatever sport it is you're playing, you may be so far behind that it's game over, period.
Yeah.
And as we continue to lose our rights, in every grasp of all, you're talking about these czars and these departments that have just taken over, it is getting almost to a point to where as we as people will not be able to get it back. Here's the healthcare issue. That now, based on the ruling of this morning or so, even with a Senate that could be Republican and a Congress, it's still health care is basically on its way, and there's very little we can do to prevent this. I mean, we need to wake up, and I can't understand how people can be ignorant, Loki, at just such a record level.
Well, you know,
what
easy
else
to
has
explain.
To happen?
They're empathetic.
That's easy to explain. Yeah, that's easy to explain. The reason why they're ignorant is because of a school system of 20 years that has failed to teach our children. Now, today, they're in their 20s and 30s. They can't tell you where Afghanistan is, if they've even heard of it. They can't tell you what the – they don't even know what the Bill of Rights means. They have not been well-educated in our schools because of our teachers, because of poor teachers, and because of parents who have failed to follow up on their kids' education. So today, the people that you're dealing with, they're not necessarily brainwashed. They just don't know any better because they were never taught properly or they never learned properly. Now, what the problem is for folks like us, for anybody who advances the cause of constitutionalism, for us, we have to do the job what teachers failed to do 20 years ago, what our school system failed to do 20 years ago, and that is now to educate people what they should have been educated on 20 years ago, about our Constitution, about our history, and let's not forget why we're the country we are, and not let these folks accept the provocations of the socialist called Obama
in his Black Liberation Theology thesis.
Well said. I couldn't agree more.
Well, it was.
Well, that's.
Wait a minute, John, hang on. Loki, go ahead.
Yeah, Tesla, Loki. I mean, you're right. But even when I was in high school back in the 70s, they weren't teaching this stuff.
Right.
Now, this has been coming on for decades. It's been dumbing down the American people and trying to convince us that our government is not supposed, it's, well, really is supposed to be running the way it is without looking at the truth. I mean, what does the Constitution say? What are the limitations on the federal government? We weren't taught that. We were taught that the Supreme Court makes laws. No, it doesn't. Only Congress makes laws.
And I don't want to sound, let me rephrase it this way, too. Many of our public school systems, because of totally inadequate teachers and sometimes equally inadequate parents, failed to teach the basic fundamentals of civics when they were supposed to. Now, if you compare the public schools, the public propaganda schools, to today's private schools, I think you would see an enormous difference in the level of education and what is being taught in the private schools as opposed to the public schools. This is why parents sacrifice today to send their kids to private schools. This is also the reason why the liberals hate the voucher system. They don't want those kids being taught the right thing in voucher-driven schools. Go ahead.
And I can't agree with you more. I homeschool my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I kept them out of the public school system.
Wow.
And my father actually was a school teacher, as was my uncle a school teacher. They both taught American history and government and civics and whatnot, as you can probably tell. But anyways, when I told them my goal of keeping my children out of the public school system, they said, good.
Yep.
And this is coming from two school teachers. Keep them out of that system.
That's and right. I think right now what's happening with Barack Obama is basically mandating all the curriculums because he is holding so much cash above their head that it is almost like winning the sweepstakes or the lottery for these schools. They have never seen this much cash. And, I mean, basically all they have to do is adhere to the master.
Well,
and bingo. They hit the jackpot. We'll start with John, then we'll move our way down.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I happen to know a lot of people who are school teachers, and I can attest to the fact that the difference between the public educational system and the private educational system is vast. Most parents that send their children to private schools, they're paying between $10,000 to $15,000 a year to send just one child to a private academy. And the results that you see are very different from what you see in the public schools. Most public school districts only have four or five high schools, which really prepare the students to go to college. The rest of the neighborhood schools have no program to prepare someone to go to college. They're not preparing them for any type of vocational track. So as a result, if these people are able to graduate at all, they're not prepared to enter. They're not prepared to enter the economy at all, and as a result, many of them end up in like some type of jail or some type of prison because they're not prepared, and they end up as a criminal. So this is a problem in a lot of the inner cities today, but. The basic problem with Americans today is they're not engaged beyond what they see on any type of television media or beyond what they see on the internet, meaning that most Americans do not have any knowledge of, like, the outside world. They only know English as their primary language. They don't have any type of knowledge of another language. And so, you know, I think this is a basic problem when it comes to Americans and like also to their relations in terms of politics.
Yeah, at this time, thanks, John. We're going to jump instead of doing a break. I'm gonna play a piece, and then we're gonna all come back here, and we'll let you comment on this. This is here's our rights right now as we speak on Blog Talk Radio on the internet. Here's a piece of legislation by our master in king, Mr. Barack Obama. We'll jump into this break and come right back. Give a listen to this. The internet kill switch given to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, authority to shut down the internet and what the federal government would deem as a national emergency.
Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs just approved a wide-ranging cybersecurity bill that is raising concerns amongst critics who say it will give the president the authority to shut down parts of the internet during a cyber attack. Is this just another power grab by the government? Joining me, Wayne Cruz, Director of Technology Studies for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, welcome here. What's the government of? This is almost unbelievable.
It's a pleasure.
If anything is free and unregulated and joyful, it's the internet, where you can say what you want, listen to what you want, watch what you want. And the government wants to shut it down?
Well, it fits with what you were talking about earlier. There's always this tendency to have government steer and make the market row, and that's what's going on here. When it comes to the internet, you got a couple of choices. There are risks we face, but you can either collectivize and centralize those risks, or you can look at the development of the market and look for what kind of market alternatives there are that are going to protect online safety. Remember, the companies that are vulnerable in the internet world and consumers that are vulnerable, none of this is happening in a vacuum. Companies are working very hard to deal with cybersecurity threats and things of that sort, and there have to be lots of market institutions that evolve to protect cyber insurance or those sorts of things.
Okay, there are now market forces. There are mechanisms in place to shut down the internet privately if something assaultive or offensive to the internet, of a destruction of mainframes, has happened, right?
Well, if need be, that's what they would do. But what's worrisome here is the claim that there could be a kill switch given to the president, any president, under this bill. And Lieberman and some of his staffers had said that's not really what's taking place. But Lieberman himself said China has the, and I think you played this clip, China has the authority or ability.
Here's Senator Joseph
Lieberman.
And we need
that here.
Here's Senator Joe Lieberman, who's the independent Democrat from Connecticut, who has proposed this legislation. His argument is, you're not going to believe this, that President Obama needs the same power that the dictators in China have. Take a listen to this.
This is something that we need to protect our country. Right now, China, the government, can disconnect parts of its internet in the case of war. We need to have that here, too.
I'd want to jump over the table and grab him by the neck. How could he possibly say that in a free society our government should have the same powers as the dictators in China?
I'm here to tell you, Judge, that the kind of internet that evolves in the future, in a world in which the president has this ability to operate a kill switch,
I don't even know where to start, but we'll start with the host of the show, Dr. Jones. You want to comment on that?
I just got back to the phone. What was
internet kill switch?
The internet kill switch.
Yeah, Joe Lieberman said
hey,
the dictator
you know what?
Of China's got one, so Barack Obama should have it.
Here's the thing: net neutrality. Barack Obama, internet kill switch. Barack Obama and his administration already don't want a certain talk show host, a certain internet blogs to spread the message to the American people that we're pretty much under attack by this administration. They've already said on numerous occasions early on in this administration that they don't want that certain news outlets are scaring the American people, or disseminating misinformation and disinformation and putting out information that's blatantly false and untrue, when of course the opposite has been the case, and what's been really happening is that the Obama administration has been doing just that. They would love to have this internet kill switch. However, you know, I don't think it's going to fly with the American public. The President of the United States should not be all-powerful. He should not have all of this authority. He is not a king, even though some would like to make him that. You know, there was this talk during the Bush administration after 9/11 that the president was amassing too much power, that too many American freedoms were being eroded, that we were living in a state where the president is pretty much controlling. Where and even my, you know, I've heard so many people say that during the Bush administration that the Patriot Act and all that was entangled in that was an erosion of our freedoms, and here we have. Here we have a situation where the president of the United States, under certain very vague conditions, will have the ability to shut down certain section of the internet as he sees fit. He will be given the power to do that. What is wrong with these people? I just don't get it.
Doc, speaking of net neutrality, I hope you listen to. Socialism is not an option, everyone. If not, go back in the archives. Tesler, why don't you jump in? This is your this is your topic here. Tesler? All right, well, we'll have to hang on there. Loki?
Well, I find it interesting that Joe Lieberman, I'm going to use a term here that I use on my show, that used the pricks, and that's not a nasty term. It stands for People's Republic of China. That's just how I pronounce it. Make it easy. Anyways, he uses them, but why do they shut down portions of the internet? They do it to silence political dissent. And this is one thing that really bothered me, what Lieberman said. And I've listened to this before. The premier of China has this power, why not the president of the United States? Well, because the president of the United States is not allowed to shut down political dissent. That's what the First Amendment's all about. It's not about being able to speak your mind on a street corner someplace. It's being able to criticize your government.
Yeah, but Loki,
Tesler, you want to jump in? Okay, go ahead, Doc.
Loki, I believe I have seen evidence that America, that this administration and a lot of liberals out there, a lot of people who are like-minded of the Obama administration, are attempting to condition us to accept these sorts of erosions of our freedom. I'll give you one example where the president suggested that there is no magic pill, there is no magic bullet to solve the high price of fuel, the high price of gas, that we're going to have to. He went so far as to say that we're going to have to accept these high prices, and he's going on to blame. The fact that oil prices and gas prices, the price of gas is so high on others and not his administration, and that we are going to have to accept certain realities. And I believe that he's going to, this administration is going to suggest that we'll have to accept these things as being how things are and the way they're going to be and the way they have to be. So this is going to slow boil. It's like one of the radio shows, one of the Blog Talk radio shows I did a while back, where we're being put into a pot and the fire is just being turned up very slowly, and we're not really noticing that we're being boiled to death until it's all too late.
Well,
Tesler, are you able to join us now? I guess not. Loki, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, this president, actually, I think his election to the office of presidency was the greatest thing that could have happened to this nation. Because the American people are waking up, and they're waking up rapidly. We saw the results of that in 2010. It was a start. It wasn't the do-all, and it wasn't the end. But the American he turned the heat up so hard, so high, that the frog done jumped out of the pot. It's no longer viable.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that. I mean, John, do you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think it was Al Gore who said that he was one of the inventors of the Internet, and I think he stated in different countries around the world that the American economy had kind of brought its economy like into the Internet, so that the Internet was kind of involved also with the economy. That's the reason why you're seeing certain businesses start to close down now in terms of book sales and like any type of DVD types of rentals, because all of these businesses have been placed on the Internet now. And it was the adoption of this technology that was going to fundamentally change the American economy. And that was the difference between America and other places in the world. But when the Patriot Act was passed, the CIA and these other agencies got the ability to monitor the Internet, because they were finding that some of these Muslim terrorists were using websites to keep in contact in terms of what plans that they were trying to develop around the world. And that's how Bush was able to foil some of these massive plots that occurred in Europe, because the CIA had people that that were attempting to monitor these different types of websites that happened to be planted in different countries in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Tesler, do we have you back now?
Yeah, we're all set.
Okay, good. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Tesler.
But you know, when we this is a hard area to deal with, because when you're talking about the Internet, you cannot maintain an expectation of privacy while you deliberately go on the Internet. You cannot do that. Okay? It's an open book. You've got Facebook. You've got MySpace. You've got YouTube. People put stuff up on there. And when I go read about somebody I don't even know who's put some information about him or herself on Facebook, does that mean I'm monitoring the Internet? Well, yeah, I guess. But you put the stuff out there. Now, if you're talking about monitoring in that sense, hey, anybody can do it, including the government, and I don't have a problem with it. Because you want to put junk out there about yourself, you know, you're going to get junk back. But if we're talking about monitoring emails in an unscrupulous way, if we're talking about monitoring cell phones that now give out locations to places like Google and Verizon, that is unethical. That is not what the folks signed up for. This is not what we wanted. You know, so there's got to be a little bit of a difference here. When I have a cell phone communication with somebody, there I think I have a reasonable expectation of privacy, and if you want to listen to it, you better get a warrant. But if I go on a website and start saying I'm all for Al-Qaeda, well, okay, what do you expect the government to do? I hope it monitors that guy. So there are some areas there that you have to kind of differentiate from in terms of what the government can and cannot do, because a lot of us can do the same thing.
Your neutrality yesterday, Tesler, was perfect. I mean, it really, it kind of broke it down in kindergarten terms. And anybody who didn't listen to it, I encourage to go download that. Let's start at the top. Doc Jones, you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, and I think, of course, Tesla's right, but I think more fundamentally, it's as if, what would occur? I mean, suppose the Obama administration or perhaps one of his czars decides that certain voices on blog talk radio on this website has become agitators to the extent that they may be advocating sedition, and that particular website needs to be shut down for the common good of course it's far fetched indeed, but it's a concern and a worry for many people when the government, when the President of the United States has the ability to shut down the internet in any way at all. Now, it has been suggested that he wouldn't do that, and one of the reasons is that so much of our commerce is done via the internet these days, as was suggested by another caller, that so much of what we do on a daily basis, how we buy and sell things, is conducted now over the internet as opposed to brick and mortar places. That to shut down the internet would be to pretty much shut down America itself, and it wouldn't do us any good. So I'm wondering, what the idea of having a kill switch is. I mean, how does that serve the good of American people? How does that protect us at all?
Yeah, before I jump to John, Loki and Dr. Jones, when you think about the internet kill switch, think about your good buddy Alan West and find out what his stance is on that before you start just criticizing Barack Obama. The second coming of the chocolate Jesus in the GOP is anything but a freedom fighter for we the people. You might want to research and find out what his stance is on that too. John, you want to follow up on what Dr. Jones said?
In terms of the internet, the FBI was able to increase their ability to wiretap under the Patriot Act. Before, the FBI was concentrated on different types of narcotics cases inside the country in which they were dealing with organizations that were very large, that were involved in the distribution of heroin in different American cities. So if the state police or the city police got a large drug case, they would automatically turn it over to the FBI, and the FBI would in turn conduct any type of wiretapping that had to be conducted, but they would have to get warrants from a judge to do that. Now, under the Patriot Act, the FBI has the power to wiretap without a judge's consent. They have the power to listen in on a conversation, and they can personally issue a subpoena for the person to appear in court based on their authority alone. They don't have to go through a federal judge. So the Patriot Act was able to enable the FBI, the CIA, the NSA to share information with one another because they had to reconcentrate their efforts against the war on terror. Before, the FBI was separate from the CIA, and the FBI did not have the information that the CIA had. But because they believed that there were terrorist cells inside the country, and the Patriot Act allows all cell phone activity and all activity on the internet to be monitored by like a supercomputer that's probably located at the Pentagon someplace. So they're getting every cell phone transmission, every transmission that comes over the internet. The government is able to monitor everything. So they were, they did this because they had an enemy that they believed was within the country. So that's one thing that has changed in the sense that these agencies now can, get information, and the person may not know that they're being listened to but the agency can come down and do an arrest, and they don't have to answer to a judge or, like, anyone.
Correct. Loki?
Well, I... if you're going to find that out, you know, if they're going to sit there and tap phones without a warrant, it's going to get thrown out in court, especially in federal court. This, you know, we still have the FISA courts, which were started under Jimmy Carter, which allow that to happen. Okay. To be able to get actually a warrant after the fact, but it has to be within 3 days. Now, the thing is, and this is another problem people don't think, if it's a terrorist, if it's a citizen of another country, I'm sorry, they're not afforded constitutional rights. The Constitution was written to give the American people protection against their government.
Yes, but Loki, we have found that it has been shown that this administration has subverted the Constitution time and time again over the last 2 years they've been in office.
That's the problem with where this country is. It's not this administration. It's been for the past 100 years that presidents and Congress have subverted the Constitution. That's why we have to get back to the Constitution. We can't sit there and say, well, yeah, they're subverting it and they've been subverting it. Well, yeah, we the people and the state are the protectors of the Constitution, not the federal government. Remember, it wasn't written for the government. It was written for we the people.
Yeah.
And this is
That's very true. Tesla.
But I think, you know, what we're talking about here, and I think Robert had made the point just a little earlier, is one of the things that people fear about the off switch is the reasons or the motivations to flipping that switch. Now, you know, Robert made a point about, well, you know, what if someone is listening to you know, the radio show, and all of a sudden they determine it to be sedition or acts of treason. Well, now what we're really talking about, which is really what the liberals are going after, is content, okay? It's not the Internet. It's content. This is what they want to suppress under any guise that they can, any means necessary, including a kill switch. You know, let's not forget the socialists have an agenda behind the agenda. Now, while the agenda always looks nice and fancy and it's for our good, there's always the agenda behind the agenda, which is really the Europeanization of America. And that is to say that if they don't like the content of which you speak, they can now impose the Patriot Act or illegal wiretaps to form the probable cause necessary to eventually shut you down. This is where we are going. This is what I'm seeing. This is what really I think is the real root of what's going on. Because just take a look at the killings that were done in Arizona and the shooting of that congresswoman. That no sooner happened than you know, half the loony left was accusing Sarah Palin of being an instigator of this. They know she wasn't an instigator of this. What they do know is they want to shut down her content, what the message is. That's more important to them than anybody's constitutional rights.
Exactly, because they believe that the message is harmful to their agenda, and
Absolutely.
Their agenda is holier and more worthy than that of any conservative. That to make the country into the image that they believe it should be, any means is justified, and that includes, as Tesla said, vilifying Sarah Palin to the point where she is blamed for causing the violence that occurred in Arizona. And in fact, Rush Limbaugh earlier today spoke to the fact that there are going to be many books and exposés coming out vilifying Sarah Palin simply because she has reemerged onto the political scene with some of the speeches she's given over the last 3 weeks or so, that she has now reemerged as a threat to a lot of the ideas that the left holds dear. So the attack on her personally, as well as her family, is now going to be renewed in earnest, and so to squelch her voice, to make her a non-factor on the political scene. Because frankly, for all the talk of Sarah Palin being this not very smart person, this neophyte, governor from the Hoboken way out in Alaska, for her being a non-factor, she is a factor, and her voice is, they want to stifle her voice as a result of it, and it extends to every part of the political spectrum and the internet. Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what the numbers are in terms of conservative Blog Talk Radios versus progressive or liberal Blog Talk Radio, but I would wager that our numbers are much higher than that of liberals, and I would really like to see what the numbers are in terms of listeners and downloads. Conservative versus liberal. I would hope that we could get that information at some point.
That's not even close. I've
for about 3-1.
As I had commented, that's not even close. When I was co-hosting with the last co-host, prior to actually me coming in and being a conservative, I think monthly he was averaging less than 500. And I've done some of the progressives that have asked me to join on just to instigate trouble, which I think I've done pretty good. They're lucky to get over 1,000. That's per month. So, I mean, it is considerably low. As we wind down, John, why don't we give you a minute, your final thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was the FCC that attempted to institute the fairness doctrine on a lot of these talk show programs, whether they be on the internet or on television. And that could be an instrument to try to shut down a lot of the conservative talk shows, in the sense that they want to see more of a balance between the liberal and the conservative points of view on the internet or on the radio or also on TV.
Yep. Okay. Alrighty, Loki.
Well, the thing is, the solution to this problem, and most of the problems facing this country, are we have to get back to the Constitution. It's simple. It's going to be a hard road to take, and it's going to be a hard road to hoe, but that is the answer. We will trim government down by 75%. If we do that, we will give the power back to the states where it belongs, the states and the people. This is the answer. I mean, we can talk about solutions all day, but there's one thing that will do it all. We have to get back to our constitutional roots. And if we deem that the Constitution is lacking in some point, well, then we can amend it. But we can't sit there and amend it by judicial fiat. We can't amend it by legislative act, and we can't amend it by executive order. The people are the ones that have to agree.
Very, very well put. Tesler.
Well, I think that we have to look at the fact, what we're talking about in terms of content. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court stood up on the side of that nutty religion, that nutty church, that likes to protest at the funerals of veterans. And essentially the Supreme Court said that what they were saying, no matter how distasteful, no matter how ugly, no matter how absolutely reprehensible, they had the right to say it. And I agree with the Supreme Court on that decision, not that I agree with that church. And when the Supreme Court decided in favor of that group, they actually did conservatives a huge favor. Because now if someone tries to bring actions against the conservative message, they have to be consistent in their ruling. You may not like our message, but we have the right to say it. Go ahead.
Dr. Jones, go ahead.
Well,
close this show.
Unfortunately, I'm going to pour a little cold water here. I believe that this administration and that a great many Democrats, a great many liberals are effectively watering down and sending out a message that lessens that sends out the perception that the Constitution is outdated, that the Constitution no longer applies, that certain portions of the Constitution should be adhered to, and certain portions are outdated. Much like liberals speak of the Bible, that there are certain portions of it that should be followed and certain portions of it that are fiction or that no longer apply. There is a segment of this country, this population, that is seeking to make the or seeking to cause the Constitution to become irrelevant, and we really need to stop that. That needs to be stopped in its tracks.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Dr. Jones, nice to have you back. John, Loki, and Tesla, two of my absolute very favorites. I'm indebted to you. You guys are welcome here all the time, and hopefully maybe next week, Monday, we'll have everyone together and we'll I can play some media clips, and then we can come back and make some comments on it, kind of the way Doc Weithra and Loki and I did a while back. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You get Dr. Jones all to yourself now. Dr. Jones, you were a missed person, so don't think you weren't. All right,
no,
good night, everybody.